Joining us now, he's from MyGolfDaily.com, Ron Mintz. Ron, welcome into the golf shop.
Thanks, guys. Good to be here.
All right, so let's get right into it. President's Cup captains made their picks this week. How are you feeling about the two picks on the American side and the two picks on the international side? What do you think?
Well, I'm glad it's finally over because we've debated about Phil for over a month. He certainly helped himself the last week there, and I think that's what helped Stricker make the decision. But in all fairness to Phil, he is playing well. Whatever ailment he had that he blamed for his poor play lately, the doctor seemed to have fixed it. So feel real good about it. Charlie Hoffman should have been on the team, no doubt, at 11th. He just got bumped the last week. But looking at the team, we do have a lot of rookies. You've got Johnson and Spieth, who've been in the President's Cup before. Justin Thomas is a rookie. Daniel Berger is a rookie. Brooks Koepka, Kisner, Chappelle, Hoffman. So having Phil and a couple other veterans on the team should be a good fit.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was gonna have Chappell or Hoffman, whoever finished. I think that decision was made, and many people think the Phil Mickelson decision was made. Mark and I disagree on this one, so we're gonna ask you to break the tie. You know, is this just a lifetime achievement award? You know, would he be better served as a captain, or does he really deserve a spot in there because of the leadership he brings to the team room?
I don't understand the team room thing. I never have. I've always felt like, you know, these are professional golfers, and if they need to have somebody to motivate them playing ping pong, I don't understand that. With Phil, I hate to say this, but, you know, the President's Cup is a made-for-TV event. It's owned by the PGA Tour. It's nothing like the Ryder Cup, and I'm not downplaying it. It's a great event. But you know, the Golf Channel or whoever has it this year, they pay millions and millions of dollars for the rights to televise this event, and they want ratings. If you'll remember a few years ago, Tiger had not been playing for months, and Fred Couples was the captain and chose Tiger as a captain's pick a month before the event even started, a month before the cutoff. And I asked some insiders what was going on, and they said, look, you know, Golf Channel paid $30 million for the rights. They need ratings, and they want Tiger on the team. I'm not saying the Golf Channel is they, whoever they is. But that may be part of it. I mean, Phil does draw out huge galleries. He's a fan favorite. So I think that's part of it. I don't think it's an honorary thing. Plus, I don't see how Stricker could have told him no. I mean, Steve's just not capable of doing that. Somebody else would have had to done it for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, here's the thing. Where would Phil have to be on the points list to not be a captain's pick at this point? I mean, it's almost like he'd have to be at like 30 or 35 on the list, and you know, which, you know, I mean, honestly, he's not that far away from it. He hasn't been playing well. I mean, even when he does play well, you don't ever really feel like he's going to challenge to win a golf tournament. I actually equated to, I think if Phil wins another major championship, if he gets that elusive U.S. Open championship, to me, it's 100 times more surprising than Jack Nicklaus winning the Masters in 86.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And I think Phil, for 47, despite the arthritis, is physically capable of winning another major if the putter's working. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I mean, Mark and I, the reason we argue is, well, it's part of the show, and we don't agree on anything. But, you know, in this case, I'm looking at it pragmatically a little bit more like you, although I do like Phil Mickelson. No one cares about Brian Harman when you're talking about the money that's paid to put on a for-profit event. If your choice is Brian Harman or Phil Mickelson, it's a no-brainer for the organizers who are trying to get it. Now, the golf nerds of the world might be upset about it, but you're going to get more casual sports fans during a football season that is now in full swing paying attention to Phil Mickelson than anybody would tune in except Ooh. Mr. and Mrs. Harman.
Wait a minute. Let me present it to you guys this way. So let me ask both of you the question this way. What if this wasn't the President's Cup? What if this was the Ryder Cup? Now, this is a whole different level. The Ryder Cup is completely different. It's the PGA of America. It's not the PGA Tour. We're less worried about the ratings of the Ryder Cup than we are the President's Cup. Is Phil Mickelson a lock if it was a Ryder Cup year?
No.
No, he wouldn't be.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the President's Cup.
But I get the thing of the ratings and all that stuff from a playing perspective and a traditional golf person looking at a team perspective. Phil's not on my team. I'm sorry.
You know, the Ryder Cup is owned by the PGA Tour. I mean, the President's Cup. The Ryder Cup is the RNA, the European Tour, the PGA of America, several agencies involved. So, totally different scenario, totally different. Yeah, you're right. I mean, he would not have been a lock.
Yeah, and people really care about the Ryder Cup. This is an event that, as excited as we are to be hosting it in a couple of years in Charlotte, it's always been a secondary all-star event, a secondary team event, and they've got to look what they can do to make it work. So when you look at the team that is in place, even with Phil Mickelson, whether you like it or don't like it, is this a team that can just dog walk the international team, or you know, might this be closer than we think?
I think it's going to be very close. Looking at the international team, they're a very strong roster on there. Of course, last year we only won by 1 point.
Right.
Which was sort of scary because we've only lost one time, I think, in 1998. It was sort of a given that, that's one reason I think it's never really been a huge deal as far as TV because we've always dominated. But last year, it woke us up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. For me, obviously, Hideki Matsuyama playing well in the international squad. I mean, we know the struggles that Jason Day has had focusing mentally with everything that his mom has been going through. I mean, Adam Scott's not scaring me. Louis Oosthuizen's not scaring me. Leishman's been playing a little bit better. Schwartzel, Brendan Gray, Siwoo Kim, Johnny Vegas, Adam Hadwin, and, of course, Grillo
Lahiri, who didn't want to be on the team.
Who really
apparently
didn't even expect to be close. I mean, there's only a couple guys on that team that scare me. I mean, this could be a blowout for me. I don't know. I just don't see some of these guys stepping up. And if our guys play like they're supposed to, which never seems to be the case, so that would be the only thing that makes it closer, is our guys aren't taking this as serious as the other guys are.
I think our guys are, especially the rookies. It's their first time. Adam Scott had not been playing well. I'm not using this as an excuse, but his wife was pregnant, and she finally had the baby a couple weeks ago. So he's more focused now, although he didn't make the cut last week at the President's Cup. But and then Kevin Kisner had a little boy 2 days ago, so he'll be focused when the President's Cup starts. Patrick Reed, you know, he gets fired up for these things. Regardless of how he's playing, he always seems to play well. Kuchar, overall 4-7-2, doesn't do well in singles. He's 0-3. But Kevin Chappell owns the course record at Liberty National with a 61. So obviously he plays well there. Charlie Hoffman can play well anywhere. He's one of the hottest players on tour. To have left him off the team would have been a tragedy. So, and of course Phil, I mean, I can't even count. He's been on the team for many years, but 23, 16, and 12 overall. It's going to be hard to say, guys. I mean, it could go either way.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the European squad, just trying to figure out where these captain's picks came from. You know, we're upset about Phil Mickelson being 15th and maybe not deserving to be on it, but he really wanted to be on it, and he's that guy. Lahiri was 16th, didn't want to be on it, and is. I mean, over Ben Ahn and Tanahara. I mean, what were they thinking with that? Do you have any sense for, you know, did these other guys not want to be in it? And they got down to Lahiri, who wasn't even paying attention when the announcement was made?
Yeah, he's a very good player. I don't, you know, they decide their team differently than we do. They use the world golf rankings, from what I understand, totally. That's how they pick their team. So that's over a 2-year average. So I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. And we do ours differently. That's another thing about golf. I don't understand why we have one set of rules to select by and they have another. But That he is a very good player. I don't know how he's been playing recently, but the other pick you just mentioned, I don't even know who he is. I went through their 10 through 20 and looked at the World Golf ranking, and some of them weren't even in the top 100.
Yeah, it's tough. Again, we're talking with Ron Mensah of My Golf Daily, and Ron, quickly about the FedEx Cup playoffs. I mean, I've always said, you know, the playoffs for me are a little odd. I would love to see this field this week get paired from 70 players to 32 players. Then next week, roll out and let these guys, all 32 guys go out, play 36 holes, rank them 1 through 32, and then run match play, and whoever's the last guy standing is the FedEx Cup champion. I mean, is there anything that you would do differently about these FedEx Cup playoffs?
It's funny you say that. I heard that idea a couple days ago about match play and how the players would receive it. And most people seem to think that the players would love it. They like match play. They'd like to have more match play on tour, which we have two WGC events, and that's it. Well, of course, the Ryder Cup and President's Cup, but I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, one of these days somebody's going to listen to me. But, I mean, the thing was, it was how great...
No, they're not.
How great was it last year that we go into a playoff, and the winner of the playoff is the FedEx Cup champion? I think that's the kind of thing that you'll get. I mean, you know, there's only... Not all 30 guys in the field can win it, you know, when you roll out. So that's what gets me is that, you know, no matter how good you play, other than winning the tournament, you might not be able to actually win it. So even a guy that wins it, if a certain guy comes in second, he doesn't automatically win it. So it just seems like the more the emphasis that we want to put on winning golf tournaments, the less emphasis sometimes the FedEx Cup puts on for winning golf tournaments. So why the winner of the tournament isn't the FedEx Cup champion, I'll never know sometimes.
Well, if any of the top five win, they automatically win the cup.
Right, but
so
if number 30
what
wins,
anybody does outside the top five, they can't beat them.
Yeah, if number 30 wins the golf tournament, but number one coming in comes in second or third or something like that, number 30 doesn't win the FedEx Cup. So that's kind of my point.
Yeah. Well, the reason they get excited for it is the money. I mean, it's a lot of money. It's the hugest purse in golf.
Yeah,
for one week, for one tournament.
Match play for $10 million would make me a little nervous. I think it would make all these guys nervous. I mean, you might see some hosel rockets in that final match, wouldn't you?
The thing I don't like about the FedEx is, especially at this point, it's going to be hard for anybody outside the top 30 to move in. You've got Bill Haas on the bubble. So you might have two or three players in that bottom 40 that'll make it to the Tour Championship in Atlanta. But it's going to be very hard for anybody to advance. That's not already in the top 30, just the way they've got it set up.
Yeah, didn't we have? We had three the first week made it through that were outside the number made it in. I think we had three last week that were outside the number made it in. And you might have maybe one or two this week. So, I mean, when you're talking about in four events when there's 10 guys – that, you know, are outside a certain number that make it in. I don't know. Something has to change.
Yeah, we had three last week, and one of those was because Brent Snedeker hadn't played in about 6 weeks
right.
due to injury. So,
right, yeah.
It's very hard to advance, and I think they should revamp it, and I would love your theory or your idea of going to match play. That would make it so much more interesting.
All right. Well, Ron, man, we always appreciate talking to you. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.